Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. The message will be taken from the book of 2 John. Our main text will be verse 9 of 2 John, the little book of 2 John. John wrote three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. So we'll be studying in 2 John today. And the title of the message is The Necessity of Right Doctrine. The Necessity of Right Doctrine. And I'll show you that in just a moment. I do want to start the program off today by acknowledging those of you who watch this program and listen. I've told you in the past that this program, Reign of Grace TV broadcast, is an evangelistic tool of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia, which is the church that I pastor. And I know many of you may live close enough to Albany to visit our church services. So I would invite you, I take this opportunity to invite you to our church services. We have a Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock. And then we have a main worship service on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. We also offer live streaming if you have a computer or you have the ability on these smart TVs to tune into live streaming. Those services are streamed live on the internet each Sunday morning. So if you would like to come and visit us, we'd love to have you. Any of you who'd like to write and just let us know you're listening, we're always glad to hear from you. But we're so glad. And we also, you'll see on the screen, we also identify our website, our email, all of that information. So I just wanted to put that out there. But let's get to the Bible study, the message, which is the necessity of right doctrine. Now, so many people today have such misguided views, misunderstandings of the issues of doctrine. The word doctrine just simply means teaching. And of course, the Bible itself is full of doctrine. There are doctrines of other religions, other beliefs, and then there is biblical doctrine, or what we might say Christian doctrine. There are people who call themselves Christian who hold different doctrines because they interpret the Scripture differently. And although I will acknowledge that there are some verses that are just not easy to interpret, there are rules of interpretation that are laid down in the Scripture and in the hearts that the hearts of God's people that I believe cause them to arrive at basically the same essential doctrines. And that's what I'm going to talk about. I just finished a series on the issues of Bible interpretation a few weeks back, a few months back maybe. And I urge you to get that. You know, how to interpret the Scriptures, rules for interpreting the Scripture. And so those are important. You know, many people, they just read the Bible without any thought and without any adherence to the rules of interpretation, and they come up with all kinds of wild things that they believe. But listen to what John writes in 2 John. We'll begin reading at verse 7. This has just got one chapter. It's a very short book. And he's writing, I believe, to a church which he identifies as the elect lady. Some scholars believe he's writing to a particular lady, a believer, but that doesn't matter. The message is the issue because the message is the same, whether he's writing to one person, one believer, or a group of believers. But he's warning them. He commends her for persevering in the truth and in love. But then he warns this group of believers. Verse 7, He says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Now, these deceivers that he's talking about are people who claim to be Christians, but who denied particular doctrines that identify and distinguish and form the basis of true Christianity. And that's a problem. Now, that's something we cannot overlook. He says this is a deceiver, one who is out to deceive people. He says this is an antichrist. That's the spirit of antichrist. You know, so many people today have their minds set on one particular person whom they can identify as the antichrist. But John, in his epistles, 1 John and 2 John, in fact, the only time you see the term antichrist in Scripture is in John's epistles here, 1 and 2 John. And John speaks of and acknowledges a spirit of antichrist, which is prevalent in his day through these deceivers. And he says, listen, what is antichrist? What is the spirit of antichrist? It's a spirit of any person who comes claiming to be Christian, claiming the name of Christ, but who denies the doctrine of Christ, the true doctrine of Christ. Now, these particular individuals here, whom John identifies as deceivers and antichrist, they were denying the doctrine of Christ's humanity. You see, the doctrine of Christ's humanity is an essential doctrine, a truth, a teaching from the Scripture. This person who is God, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, He had to be made flesh and dwell among us. Now the reason He had, and it's all connected here. This is one thing you need to understand about this doctrine. You see, the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of Christianity is not a supermarket religion. Meaning by that, you can't just go in with your grocery bag and pick and choose what you want to take and what you want to leave behind. This doctrine is essential. That's why I call this message the necessity of right doctrine. So listen to what he says. He said, and I'll talk more about this doctrine of his humanity as well as other doctrines, but look at verse 8. He says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought," that is, have gained is what that means. You might have that in your concordance. He's not talking about things we've worked for, but things we have received, "but that we receive a full reward." Now, the full reward has to do with the final glorification, the final end, culmination of salvation for every true believer, saved by the grace of God, redeemed by the blood of Christ, washed clean in His blood, clothed in His righteousness imputed. You see, everything that I'm telling you here are essential doctrines of Christianity. And everything that I have as a saved person is by virtue of who Christ is in His person, God and man in one person. If He's not God, He couldn't save me. If He's not man without sin, He could not save me. And it has to do with what He accomplished. That reward there speaks of the redemptive work of Christ to earn and gain the salvation of His people and all blessings of glory and grace by His merits. It's not the reward that I earn or the reward that you earn. It's the reward of grace. You see, the price of all salvation and blessings is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not us. It's not our works. It's not even our faith. Our faith is in Christ. So understand that. And so he says in verse 9, now here's the text, Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Do you see that? Now look what he says. Whosoever transgresseth, that word transgresseth, transgression, has to do with sin in the form of going too far, stepping over the line. It is a transgression of the law. It is a breaking of the law. And it has to do with rebellion. And so here's a person who claims to be a Christian. And he says, I believe in Jesus Christ. He's my whole salvation. But I do not believe he's man. I don't believe he was ever human. And that was a particular heresy back in those days, because there were a group of cultists called mystics called the Gnostics who would not accept the fact that Jesus Christ was a human being, because they looked at flesh, material flesh, physical flesh, as being sinful. And of course, Christ was never sinful. He was human. He was a human being without sin. He was made flesh and dwelt among us, but he was without sin. And they couldn't accept that, so they denied his humanity. Well, in denying his humanity, they went too far in their own understanding, in their own rebellion. They denied Christ. And then he says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, continues not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. You see, he says, he that abideth continues in the teaching, the doctrine, the truth of Christ. He hath both the Father and the Son. Now, what is the doctrine of Christ? Well, we could talk about a lot of things, but we don't have time to go through a systematic theology of Christian doctrine. And I will say at the outset, there are things that believers can disagree on, but there are things that true believers do not disagree on and cannot disagree on. And that's the necessity of right doctrine. And this is it. You can boil it down to basically in the doctrine of Christ. We can talk about, number one, the doctrine of His person. Now, who is Jesus Christ? What think ye of Christ? You know, that was over, I think, in Matthew chapter 22. I didn't mark that on my lesson today, but it just came to my mind. But it's a very important issue concerning the doctrine of Christ. But what happened was a group of skeptics began to ask questions of the Lord Himself, trying to trap Him, trying to catch Him up. And of course, they couldn't do it. He's the one who caught them up in their own trap, their own web. You know, you've heard the old poem, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. And that's what they were. But at the close of their little session, he posed a question to them. And the question went like this: what think ye of Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he? And they said, David's son. He's David's son. Now, they were right. In the Old Testament, through the royal covenant that God made with David, it was prophesied that Messiah, according to the flesh, his humanity, would come through the seed of David. Romans chapter 1 speaks of that, how he was made according to the flesh of the seed of David. And that's part of the gospel message. And that refers to his sinless, perfect humanity, because even though he was from the seed of David, he was not born in sin like you and me. You see, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. Man fell in Adam, and Adam brought death and sin and death upon the whole human family. And when we're born of Adam, we're born in sin. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. We were ruined by the fall. But Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in His humanity, He wasn't born as a fallen, dead sinner. He was conceived by His holy humanity was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. And so he was born without the aid of man. And he, in his humanity, was sinlessly perfect. But they answered, well, he's David's son. Well, the scripture says that. Well, Christ posed another question. He said, how can he be both David's God and David's son? Because David acknowledged Messiah to be God in the Psalms and in other passages that we could go to. So how could he be both David's son and David's God? Well, they didn't know. And I want to tell you something. That truth, I'm going to tell you how he can be both David's God and David's son. But it is a mind-boggling truth that we cannot fully comprehend in our finite minds. It's the incarnation. I'll tell you how he can be both David's God and David's son, because he is both God and man in one person. Now, that's the doctrine of Christ. Now, here's the thing. He had to be both God and man in order to save his people from their sins. Hebrews chapter 2 talks about that. Other passages talk about that all through. You see, man cannot create life and give life. But this person who is man, Jesus Christ, he does create life and gives life, and that's attributed to his deity. He's God. Only God can create life and give life. On the other hand, God cannot die for the sins of others. But this person who is God, he did die for the sins of others, and that's to be attributed to his humanity. He's God and man in one person. Now, do I understand everything about that? Well, of course I don't. And you don't either. Nobody does. We're human. We're limited. But this is what the Bible teaches. The Savior, Jesus Christ, who is salvation himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he shall save his people from their sins. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is what the Bible teaches. The Savior is both God and man in one person. If he were not fully God and fully man without sin, he could not have saved his people. He could not have died for his people. He's the surety of his people. The sins of all his people were charged, accounted, imputed to Jesus Christ. And he, in as God-man, went under the curse of the law and died as the surety and substitute of his people. And that's part of the doctrine of Christ too. For whom did Jesus Christ die? People today say, well, he died for everybody without exception upon condition of their believing. That is not the doctrine of Christ. That's the doctrine of deceivers. Jesus Christ died for God's elect. He was their surety. He is their surety. And all their sins were charged, accounted to him. And as a result of his death, his righteousness, the merit of his obedience, and it's called in the Bible, in the gospel now, in the doctrine of Christ, the righteousness of God. You see, the righteousness that is imputed, accounted, charged to me as evidenced by my believing in him, that righteousness is not of me. It's not of mere man. It's of God. It's the God-man. Jesus Christ is the Lord, my righteousness. Now, this is the doctrine of Christ. Now, here comes a person who says, well, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, but I don't believe he's God. My friend, they're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. They've transgressed. They have not God. That's a denial of Christ. Here's a person who comes along and says, well, I believe in Christ, but I don't believe he is man. Well, they don't. They're transgressing. They're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. You see the necessity of this? You see the importance of it? Here's a person who says, well, I believe he died for my sins, but only on condition of my believing and my repenting or my doing this. Oh, no. You've transgressed. You've gone beyond it. You see, it's Christ and him alone. His blood alone. His righteousness alone that secures my salvation, that demands my salvation. All in Him. This is the right doctrine. Now, over in the book of 2 Timothy, I want to read you a verse there because it's so important that we see this. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy here, instructing him in how to pastor a church, how to lead a church, a group. And he tells him, he tells him, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, the quick and the dead. The quick there are believers. The word quick there means live. They've been made alive in the new birth. The dead there are those who are dead in their sins. They are those who have not Christ. They don't have His blood to wash away their sins. They don't have His righteousness to justify them. They stand on their own. So He said He'll judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. That's the second coming. And so here's what He tells Timothy. Verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Preach the doctrine of Christ. Preach the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Him. Be instant, in season, out of season. Be ready, in other words, to preach this word. Be quick about it. He says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. In other words, you reprove and rebuke, you correct, point out the wrongs, show what's right, encourage with all patience and endurance, and do it in love, but do it with doctrine. Now, some people say, well, it doesn't really matter what your doctrine is, it's how you live. My friend, do you realize how unbiblical and unchristian a statement like that is? Now, it does matter how we live. We don't deny that. But in Christianity, in true salvation, how we live must be founded upon right doctrine, what we believe concerning who Jesus Christ is and what He accomplished on Calvary. If anybody tells you that it doesn't matter what you believe, it's how you live, they are not acting as a Christian. That's heathen doctrine. That's pagan doctrine. Now again, how we live is important. The Scripture teaches that. A person who claims to believe the gospel, even true doctrine, but who doesn't live according to that doctrine, well, it's a false professor. But how we live is determined by what we believe in doctrine. And so he says, you exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Look at verse 3 now, 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Well, it's right doctrine. True doctrine. You know there are false doctrines. Just like what John was talking about in 2 John. Those deceivers, those antichrists, who came denying the humanity of Christ. Those today who deny the deity of Christ. There are people today who talk about Christ being made a sinner. That's heresy. And the Scripture says, well, He was made sin, yes, in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He made Him to be sin, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But how was He made sin? He wasn't made a sinner. He never was a sinner. Sin never contaminated Christ. Sin never contaminated Him. Sin never was infused into Him. He was made sin. Now, how was He made sin? The sins of His people were charged, accounted, imputed to Him. You see, the doctrine of imputed sin to Christ is one of the essential doctrines of Christ. When Christ went to the cross, He went there as a guilty sinner, as a guilty person who had sin put upon him by legal imputation, but not as a sinner. See, we're the sinners. But sin was imputed to Christ. He was made a curse. He was brought under the curse. The debt of the sins of his people were charged to him. So you understand that. And that's why he had to die. He died justly under the wrath of God the Father for the sins of his people. And in doing that, he drank damnation dry. He finished the transgression. He made an end of sin. He brought in everlasting righteousness, Daniel prophesied of. And that's the righteousness that is imputed, accounted, and charged to his people. The doctrine of imputed righteousness for the justification of God's elect is an essential doctrine of Christianity. Now, as a result of that, they are quickened. The quick and the dead, well, there's the quickened, that's they're born again by the Spirit. In other words, life, spiritual life, has to be imparted to them, has to be given to them. They have to be given a new heart, a new spirit, eyes to see, ears to hear. You must be born again, Christ told Nicodemus. So God's people must be justified based on righteousness imputed, and they must be born again under the preaching of the gospel as the power of God unto salvation, as the Holy Spirit gives life, gives a new heart. So he says in verse 3 there, he says, for the time come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to it. They don't want to hear the doctrines of Scripture. People today, many people who claim to be Christians, sitting in churches every Sunday and every Wednesday, they're hearing stories, experiences, what they call testimonies, but they're not studying the Word of God. And then there are parts of the Word of God, the Bible, they don't want to study. Well, he says here, they after their own lust, they heap to themselves teachers having itch. And I'm going to pick up there next week and do another message on this, the importance of right doctrine. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.